Good morning again.
Good morning.
I can hardly see you. No house lights.
I can't either. I can see you.
Hey, great. Thank you. That looks good. I want to talk about the name today. In the name of Jesus, right?
Amen.
In Shakespeare's Romeo and Juliet, there's this soliloquy with Juliet is bemoaning Romeo's, proletarian the blue-collar family name. And she says, she makes fun of it. Anyway, his famed reply is, "What's in a name? That which we call a rose by any other name would smell as sweet." What's in a name? There's a lot in a name. And the name of Jesus is high on the list. It's the grouping of several letters, names are, into such a way that we're going to pronounce something that reminds me of somebody or represents that person. The identification of an individual attached with such significance because we know that name is going to represent all the person is, does, and ever will do. That's why the name of Jesus is so important. What's in a name? A name is like an elongated shadow attached at our heels. Mavis Himes writes in her new book, The Power of Names, how do our names impact our lives? The fact is our names are given by others external to us in our first moments of life, and then we spend the rest of our lives internalizing who we are and how our name fits us and defines us. There was a fellow named Jeff Newton. He's a pastor in Indiana, and he wrote this little snippet about his four-year-old son. This was a couple of years ago, but he said, "My four-year-old son, Jonathan, was trying to learn the Lord's Prayer. He learned by listening at church every Sunday because we recited it. On one Sunday, he was feeling particularly boisterous. And as we were praying the Lord's Prayer as a congregation, he could be heard above all the others praying, 'Our Father, who art in heaven, I know you know my name.'" There was another Jonathan at a church that I used to be on staff with. And when we arrived 2 weeks later, we had a special Sunday night service. Anyway, the pastor's son, they lived next to us, and his 3 years old, his name was Jonathan also. And Jonathan was a sweet boy who absolutely fell in love with Charlotte. What a kid. He was wonderful. But he had this speech impediment. Not an impediment, really. He just was learning to talk well, and he didn't yet. So anyway, we're in that worship service, and they had asked Charlotte to sing a song. So she mounts this rather high stage, and she gets up there behind the microphone. Jonathan is standing in the pew, and he looks up and sees Charlotte, and he goes, "Harlot! Harlot!" We never got control again that night. It was great. He since has learned to speak well, and he's a pastor too. So I wonder, do you have a favorite nickname? A name that you wish others would call you all the time? One you'd rather be called above any other moniker? Names are important to us, even our nicknames, especially our own names. A name is more than a means of identifying someone, such that as soon as a name is uttered, we recognize a lot about the person, place, or thing that's being spoken of. What comes to mind when I say Amazon? A river or an online store? Chick-fil-A. I'm sorry, making you hungry. How about Adolf Hitler? Something comes to mind, I can tell. Versace. D-Day. Mr. Rogers. McDonald's. 9/11. Owners of companies pay big money to creative people for ideas for the names of their companies. I just noticed that this past month that there's a new store down the way here in O'Fallon, and it's called Hawaiian Brothers. They're not open yet. I'm really looking forward to going there and trying the coffee there. Yeah, they had me at Hawaiian, so yeah, looking forward to that. Open November 1st. This lady told us several times. So. Some names carry connotations that are unfavorable. If you've had children, there were certain names you would not consider naming your child because they reminded you of usually somebody you were in school with that you just didn't like. Right? Isn't that true? Ah, that's right. We're careful because all their lives, kids will have to live with this name. Have you ever known anybody who named a baby boy Judas? How about a little girl named Jezebel? No, we don't do that because there are connotations to the names that we give. We feel the need to be protective of our name. Growing up, until I was 15 or so, I was Ricky. I mean, I'm Richard, but I was Ricky. So I announced that when I turned 16 shortly, that from then on I was to be known as Rich, not Ricky. And all the family members said, "Okay, Ricky." to this day, they call me that. In the third commandment, we find that God is protective of his name. We're commanded to proceed with extreme caution in handling his name, the name of the Almighty. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. For the Lord will not hold him guiltless. That's a double negative. Will hold him guilty who takes his name in vain. The New King James Version says, "You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God. For the Lord will not hold anyone guiltless who misuses his name." All in the name. There's much in the name. There's all in the name. It behooves us to get to know his name and all that it means, Jesus. God is so concerned about the proper use of his name that there's a promise of punitive action if it's misused. Don't take the name of the Lord your God in vain. Vanity now means nothing or trivial. Don't make it trivial. To take God's name in vain means it has been treated lightly. And the word to describe God's name in the Old Testament, the Hebrew word is kabad, heavy. It's heavy. Don't treat it lightly. Don't miss taking it seriously. He's determined to keep his name holy. Literally, God told his people not to lift up or take his name capriciously. So under the old covenant, no one could speak the name Yahweh, which is the Hebrew for God's name, the one who is, only spoken once a year by the high priest at Yom Kippur. He could say Yahweh. The rest of the time, that was a forbidden name because to say it was actually to abuse it. We studied through the book of Joshua recently through our devotions and reading. We were introduced to the namesake of that book, Joshua. Yeshua is the name Joshua. God chose to send Gabriel to talk to Joshua's parents before he was born. Gabriel's one of the high-ranking angels, one of the archangels. And he advised the parents what he wanted their son to be named. And when he whispered into the ear of Mr. and Mrs. Nun, Joshua was the son of Nun, son of a gun. Son of a gun, he was the son of Nun. That was their name. So he whispered in the ear of Mr. and Mrs. Nunn to tell them to name their son Yeshua. It was important. Yeshua, Savior, Deliverer. This great man, Joshua, with the name, was Israel's champion, their leader, who led them to victory over the Canaanites. Finally, when Israel arrived in the Promised Land, their leader led them to victory, one nation at a time, conquering the Canaanites. We're first introduced to the name Yeshua, Savior, Redeemer, Lord. And in fact, the nation looked to Joshua as their Savior. Now, Gabriel, the archangel, he was called the man in linen sometimes, and he appeared as a man to the prophet Daniel as well. Gabriel was so human-like that for centuries of lore, he was called the half-breed angel, half-man, half-angel, because he appeared that way. So to get to Daniel with a message, he had to fight valiantly against the prince of Persia, demonstrative, representative of the evil forces of Satan and all of his armies against God. But he was victorious. He got through, and so he appeared to Daniel with the message from God. Half a century later, Gabriel is given another mission. This time, a message to a recently engaged young woman. He was there with the inaugural word from God that he was bringing his great salvation to the world in the final chapter of his plan. The privilege to name her own son was denied Mary. God would name this boy, and he'd tell Gabriel to tell her the name of her son. He said he would send his son into the world in a quiet but miraculous way. God's son was forfeiting his privilege of deity for us in humanity. From divine son of God to being the epitome of voluntary self-sacrificing compliance. Born of a woman, this profound example of humility. He was born into humanity like any other human being, with one exception. His mother was a virgin. And what did the Heavenly Father Jehovah decide to give his son? The name at which Mary would marvel, that she would whisper to her little boy when he was young and in her arms, night after night. The one she would one day, 3 decades later, repeat to herself over and over as she gazed at the horrifying image of her son on a cross, dying for the world. So once again, Gabriel has a name for a baby. Straight from God through this prophet, and you know the name. You shall call his name Yeshua, Jesus, the same as Joshua. Later in his ministry, at that name, children would gather to Jesus and demons would scatter from Jesus. At that name, some would demand its censorship. Others would stand in honor of that name or fall to their knees, worship him. At that name, the wicked would snivel, the righteous would marvel, and Satan would grovel. All of this in the name of Jesus. So a Christian killer was blinded on the road, confronted, converted, and had his name changed from Saul to Paul. Jesus, Yeshua, changed him. And he took the time and energy to do it personally. At the mention of that name, Yeshua, a woman sick with a hemorrhage heard and touched the hem of his clothes and was instantly healed. The humble Son of God said to his followers, Whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. Truly, truly, I say to you, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give it to you. His name was a holy password, so honored it was. Use it, and you could do anything for the kingdom as long as you had faith. You could defile it or you could defame it. And you have sinned gravely against the God who saves us when you defile it. Children were captivated by the name. Can you imagine children in first century Jerusalem and the word gets out that Jesus is coming? The children would probably go crazy. Yeshua, Yeshua! And they'd flock to him. The ungodly and unbelieving were judged by the mere name of Jesus. Peter said to the thousands who came under conviction on Pentecost Sunday, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the Holy Spirit." Thousands did. Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, Acts 4:12. There is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name given under heaven by which we must be saved. Peter and John and the young church in Jerusalem prayed to God together, "Stretch out your mighty hand and perform miraculous signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant, Jesus." Peter said to the lame man at the temple gate, "I have no silver, I have no gold, but what I do have, I give to you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Stand up and walk." And he did just that. Colossians 3:17, the Apostle Paul, years later, would write this to the church, and it stands yet for us. "Whatever you do, in word or in deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God the Father through him. And in that day you will ask nothing of me." Revelation 19:16, on the robe of the triumphant Christ who is returning to the earth, on his thigh he has written a name, King of Kings, Lord of Lords. The divine majesty come to take his people. At the mere confession of the name of Jesus, millions have died and die still as martyrs. Martyrs of their faith, suffering for Christ in extremis at the hands of wicked and lost people who one more time in the most dramatic fashion are given a chance to repent. Many, though, not only refuse to believe in the name and demonstrate with pride their rejection of the name and militarize their resistance, brandishing bullets and spears and bayonets and swords against the people of the name. Young girls graduating from certain levels of grade school and high school in Nigeria stand and give thanks and praise to Jesus Christ for helping them to graduate, and their heads are taken off for saying the name. Many not only refuse to believe in the name and demonstrate with pride their rejection of the name, militarize their resistance of the name, they fume with a strange, inexplicable hatred for the name. But the people of the name keep on coming with the saving gospel. The bearers of the name continue to preach and teach, while deniers of the name continue to fall deeper into hate and violence and much worse. Someday soon, all those who repudiate the name, when the books are open, they will tremble and fall at the sound of that name and eventually be hurled into the lake of fire. While the martyrs, the elders of the people of God, they will fall too at the name, straight to the ground on their faces in worship. And on that day, the name of the Lord Jesus will be glorified. Meanwhile, we have the unequaled privilege of living in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. He's given us his name. What is it that stokes the fires of hatred against the name of Jesus? What kindles the flame of faith and devotion in the lives of others like ourselves? Here's a short reading from 1805, William Wilberforce. You've heard the name. The title of Christian is a reproach to us if we turn ourselves away from him after whom we are named. The name of Jesus is not to be to us like Allah to the Mohammedans, or like a talisman or an amulet worn on the arm as an external badge in the symbol of a profession thought to preserve one from evil by some mysterious and unintelligible potency. Instead, we should allow the name of Jesus to be engraved deeply on the hearts, written there by the finger of God in everlasting characters. It is our sure and undoubted title to present peace and future glory. It's all in the name. The name of the Son of God, who volunteered with the blessing of the Father to divest himself completely of all divine privilege, to humble himself, incarnating among us, and became man. What a leap. What a distance he went. But God expressed his love for sinners through him, not only in coming to our planet and becoming like us, but he gave his life, a real man, a real death that we celebrated at the communion table. As a real criminal, he was treated, though he was perfect. Madness is stirred at the name among those who don't believe. It was because God so loved the world that he gave up his son, Yeshua, so that everyone who believes may come to the knowledge of the truth and be forgiven their sins and be saved in the name of Jesus. Anyone in the world at any time, even in this room or any place else, who confesses, who acknowledges the name of Jesus in faith will have his sins forgiven and be filled with the Holy Spirit. Awesome. The name. The name. In that name, Satan falls. He falls and he falls, and one day he will fall permanently. In that name, heaven opens wide to those who trust him. In the name, life conquers death. Goodness conquers evil, as surely as Gabriel overcame the prince of Persia. In that name, humanity is healed. Hallelujah. All who will come to that name and be saved. I'm going to review this marvelous text in Philippians chapter 2. Many scholars believe it was a hymn that was sung by the early church regularly. Others think Paul wrote it just for this occasion in the letter of Philippians. Whatever, it is a glorious, glorious song. Would you read it with me? Being in very nature. We'll start with being. Ready? Being in very nature God, he did not consider equality with God something to be held on to, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every other name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee would bow in heaven and on earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. I love the variation in translations, but sometimes. We had a good time last week closing the service with song. Charlotte's going to come and lead us again in a couple of choruses about the name of Jesus. Would you stand? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are enamored by the name. We are blessed through the name. We rejoice in the name. We hold our hope fast in the name of Jesus. Lord, help us to understand the significance of what you have done when you named your boy Yeshua and placed him on our planet. Thank you, God, for the sacrifice. Thank you, God, for the love. Thank you, God, for the grace and the forgiveness. May we live lives in keeping with that glorious name. May he be honored and praised among us. May those who do not know him personally, have not tasted salvation in the name, come to faith in him. We pray for those whose names we placed in a basket here, people we know that don't know you. And Father, hear our hearts today as we intercede for them. We ask that this grace that has come so far would go a little farther to them. They may receive an understanding and faith about what the Lord Jesus has done. Turn to him and trust in his name. Amen. Charlotte?
Choruses, and I think you're going to have the words to them, hopefully. Yeah. Jesus, 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 there's just something about that name. Wow, those lights are bright. Amen. Amen on the lights or the right? The Jesus. Okay. Do you know that song? Oh, good. Let's do it then. Okay. I'm going to try it. I have a real low voice. Try to make it so you can sing it. Okay. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. There's just something about that name. Master, Savior, Jesus, like the fragrance after the rain. You got it. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Let all heaven and earth proclaim. Kings and kingdoms will all
pass away, but there's something about that name.
Beautiful. Next one is just Jesus, name above all names.
Jesus, name above all names, beautiful Savior, glorious Lord, Emmanuel, God is with us, blessed Redeemer, living Word.
One more time.
Jesus, name above all names, beautiful Savior, glorious Lord, Emmanuel, God is with us, blessed Redeemer, living Word.
Beautiful.